Today's topic will be the Metzitza Bepeh controversy. Is Metzitza Bepeh recommended, permitted, or forbidden? The Mishnah in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph states, Osin Kol Tzorchei Mila B'Shabbos, we perform all the needs of Bris Mila on Shabbos. You can set aside, even though on Shabbos we can't do malacha, we can perform the mitzvah of Bris Mila, and anything is necessary for the Bris on Shabbos. And then the Mishnah says, Molim Uparim Umotzitzim, V'nosnim Aleha Isplanis V'chamun, that you can circumcise the foreskin, you can uncover it, removing the dupria, remove the peel the foreskin back, and you do metzitza, you suck the blood from the wound, and you can place a bandage on it. And the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that Amara Papa Hai Umna Delo Mayet Sakana Hu Vavrina Lai. A craftsman, a professional who doesn't do metzitza, who doesn't suck the blood after every circumcision, is placing the child in danger. So according to the Mishnah, as understood by the Gemara, it seems that this obligation of metzitza is to prevent potential danger. It's a medical necessity. Modern science believes that metzitza bepeh is not a medical necessity, and possibly metzitza bepeh may be dangerous if performed with direct oral contact. Physicians have warned of the danger of transmitting dangerous diseases such as herpes from the mold to the baby or vice versa. So the first point is that, again, it seems part of the mitzvah mila, and yet the Gemara seems to say that it's a sakana. It's based on a potential sakana, the obligation to do mila. The Rambam in Hilchos Mila, Perek Beis Halacha Beis, also states that va'achachach motzeit es hamila cheyetze hadam imakomos rechokim kedei shelo yavoli de sakana, that the wound is sucked till the blood has been drawn from very far parts, from very far places, so that it will not result in sakana. I am not a doctor. I have asked a few doctors to try to understand what the logic for this, for the Gemara, in the logic for saying that metzitza bepeh prevents sakana. I have not received an adequate answer. So we'll just leave it at the fact that the Gemara, the Rambam, believes that it's that sucking the blood from the furthermost places removes the potential sakana. The Ktzos HaChoshen of Aryeh Lev Heller also says explicitly, Metzitza Eina El L'Refua. Metzitza is only for medicinal purposes. And the fact that metzitza may only be based on a sakana might have implications for today. That if you say the requirement for metzitza is only based on sakana, only based on potential danger, if that was the belief in the days of the Mishnah and the Gemara, but nowadays there's no belief that metzitza bepeh is necessary to prevent sakana, to prevent danger, then maybe there should be no requirement for metzitza bepeh. However, not everyone agrees that metzitza is based on sakana. The Avnei Nezer, for example, or of Avram Bornstein, the Avnei Nezer writes in Yoredeya Simon Shin Lamed Ches, says the following. He says, Ach lefi zeh, yesh layein mi sheyuchal etzamtzeim yesor lamul ba'od hayom gadol, he argues the following. He says that if indeed the only reason for metzitza was based on sakana, and it's not part of the real mitzvah of Bris Mila, then it's true that you can perform the mitzvah of Bris Mila on Shabbos. And it's true that if you're in a state of sakana, a state of potential danger, you can do whatever you need to do to avoid, to prevent sakana. But when it comes to metzitza, if metzitza is only based in sakana, why don't we perform the Bris Mila? Let's say the Bris Mila, the eighth day falls out on Shabbos. Why don't we perform the mitzvah of Bris Mila close to dark, close to nightfall, so that you're still performing the mitzvah milah on Shabbos, and then you do the mitzitza after Shabbos. Why set aside the prohibition of Shabbos for based on mitzitza if the only purpose of mitzitza is to prevent sakana? So do that, do the mitzitza right after Shabbos. Perform the bris milah close to the end of Shabbos and do mitzitza right after Shabbos. And therefore, he argues, Asher al korchach nira, seems to hadra papa muchach dilov mishum sakana lo haya shum mitzvah b'mitzitza. It's true that Rav Papa says explicitly in the Gemara in Shabbos that the purpose of mitzitza is because of sakana, and without sakana there would be no mitzvah mitzitza. Mikomakom, nevertheless, hashta sheyesh sakana. Once we say that there is a sakana, there is a danger, shuv hamitzitza michla mitzvah smila, the mitzitza becomes part of the mitzvah mila. Sure, that the purpose of this may have been originally because of sakana, but nevertheless, it was incorporated as an actual mitzvah. And once you say that it's an actual mitzvah, a mitzvah of mitzitza, then perhaps even if, let's say, we believe there's no potential sakana to the baby if you don't do mitzitza, maybe the requirement would still apply today because it's a mitzvah, not only based on sakana. So that's what the Avnei Nezer says. So again, if we say that there is a mitzvah to perform a tzitza, it's hard to undo that mitzvah and to say the mitzvah should not apply nowadays. If we say that the reason of mitzitza is based on sakana, then maybe you can argue that if the sakana doesn't apply nowadays, so then maybe there's no need to do mitzitza nowadays. The Mishnah Shabbos Kuf Lamed Aleph and Beis says explicitly Marchitin Asakatan Beilifnei Mila Beilachar Mila, that you wash the baby. You're allowed to wash the baby on Shabbos, even in hot water. You're allowed to wash the baby before and after the circumcision. Why? Because they believe that it was a sakana if we don't wash the baby before and after Bris Mila. Now the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Lamed Aleph Seif Tes states that bizman chachmei agamara im lo hayu rochtzim es havlad lifnei amila lachar milo v'yom shlishi lamila b'mayim chamin haya mesukan. In the days of the Gemara, if they would not bathe the child before the Mila and after the Mila on the third day of the Mila in hot water, it would have been dangerous for the baby. And that's why you're allowed to wash the baby on Shabbos, even with hot water, because it was a sakana. But the Shulchan Aruch continues, Va'ina lo nagu b'rchitza klal. Nowadays, they do not have the custom to bathe the baby at all. V'dino lirchot b'shabbos. And we treat it like the regular halachos of washing on Shabbos. Imratzu k'din rechitza called adam. Nowadays, just like nowadays you cannot bathe in hot water on Shabbos, so too, you would not be allowed to bathe the baby in hot water on Shabbos. In other words, what the Shulchan Aruch is saying is that the sakana, the potential danger that was mentioned in the days of the Gemara, which necessitated rechitza, bathing the baby even in hot water, even on Shabbos, that doesn't apply nowadays. There's no need to wash the baby in hot water on Shabbos. And there's no necessity to override the prohibitions of Shabbos. Why? Because of the sakana that was believed to be a sakana in the days of the Gemara, nowadays we don't believe it to be a sakana. In the days of the Gemara, we believe that washing the baby was a medical necessity. Nowadays, we do not believe that it's a medical necessity. So perhaps we could argue the same thing applies to mitzitza. Maybe as in days of the Gemara, we believe that mitzitza was a medical necessity. Maybe now, since it's not a medical necessity, there's no need to do it, similar to rechitza. In response to this, Rav Yaakov Etlinger, in his tshuva, Binyon Tzion, Siman Kaf Dalet, says, no, you can't compare rechitza to mitzitza when it comes to bris milah. He points out that in the days of the Gemara, or even in the Mishnah itself, there was a debate whether you need to wash, are you supposed to wash. He says that Rav Elazar ben Azariah argues in the Tanakhama if you need to wash also the third day or not, and the Amoraim debate and the nature of the Rechitza. So there's already a dispute in the Gemara about different ways to wash. So this shows that even during the days of the Gemara, washing wasn't a fixed medical necessity. Rather, it depends, lefishinu hativim, it depends on the changing, depends on the circumstances. V'lochein yafed dara beis Yosef, sha'achre sh'yadu atzleidu, she'in sakara bebitel rachitza, asu l'chal shabbos alea. And therefore, the Beis Yosef ruled correctly that since it's known to us that there's no danger if we don't bathe on the baby on Shabbos, so therefore you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. You're not allowed to violate the Shabbos for this, because even she'arei gavis mana mishnah v'gemara lo ha'isa rechitza refu amaku yebes ubura bakol ofanim. Because even in the days of the mishnah, the Gemara, the rechitza wasn't established, fixed, that in all different ways that it wasn't clearly known, the parameters weren't clearly defined. So perhaps now, so therefore nowadays we can say it's not really a medical necessity. However, mitzitza, there was no debate about it. There was no debate in days of the mission. The Gemara was an absolute, viewed as an absolute medical necessity. So you cannot eliminate this requirement, even if you believe it's based on sakana. Now, this whole issue came to the fore in the 19th century. Rav Elazar Horowitz asked, the Yad Eliezer asked Rav Moshe Sofer, the Chassam Sofer, about the possibility of using a sponge instead of one's mouth for mitzitza. So again, even if mitzitza is a mitzvah, in which case you can't simply say it doesn't apply nowadays, or even if you say that it's based on sakana, it's a medical necessity, and maybe you cannot eliminate this requirement because even though it's based on sakana, it was established as a fixed requirement days of Gemara, so you can't eliminate this requirement. But who says it has to be bepeh? Who says it has to be done orally? Maybe it can be done using a sponge. That was the question of Elazar Horowitz. Because what happened was, he wrote a letter, and in this letter he told the Chassam Sofer that in Vienna, a doctor approached him and told him that there were children who were circumcised by an expert mohel, and a malignant tzaraz broke out on their skin, covering the whole area of the circumcision and spread over their bodies, and the judgment of the doctors, this came about as a result of mitzitza bepeh, as mitzitza performed by the mole's mouth. However, the mole was examined and found to be clean and uncontaminated by any trace of the illness. Still, there is cause for concern. So he wants to know, he asks Chassam Sofer, if you could soak the absorbent cotton in wine or water and squeeze it on the circumcision wound, and therefore it would act the same way as mitzitza. It should be noted that's not so clear what the true motivation for abolishing mitzitza bepeh in the Viennese community. Some have argued that Dr. Wertheim, the doctor who initiated this query to Rabbi Horowitz, the Yad Eliezer, had another agenda. Based on another letter that the doctor wrote, some argue that his motives were fueled by a desire, like so many Jewish reformers of the time, to abolish certain traditional practices that appeared unsightly or primitive to the non-Jewish world. And in the 19th century, there was a concerted effort in many communities that were under the influence of the Reform Movement to either abolish bris milah entirely or have it done only by physicians, or at least to eliminate mitzitza bepeh. So many during this time, in an alarming number of communities, were doing away with mitzitza or bris milah entirely. And the Chassam Sofer responded that even though for Kabbalistic reasons, the idea of perhaps the idea of the Kabbalistic reasons, Rav Chaim Vital writes in the Likutei Torah, in the Tamei Mitzvahs of Parshas Lech Lecha, that mitzitza bepeh removes the midas hadin from milah. Milah in gematria is peh, is 85, which is obviously peh, mouth, and so there are Kabbalistic reasons for doing mitzitza bepeh. However, the Chassam Sofer responded, even though you have these Kabbalistic reasons to use your mouth, when there are concerns for danger, then you should use a sponge. And he believes, based on Tanakh, based on Rashi, that the word mitzitza means squeezing, schita, extracting. The lashon of the Chassam Sofer is lashon schita kvisha lahotzi davar mikocho, essentially a means to extract something forcibly. So according to Chasam Sofer, all you need to do is extract the blood from a point distant from the wound, and this can be done through any method and does not need to be done specifically through bepeh, through the mouth. And so the Chasam Sofer was lenient that it did not have to be done through dafka bepeh, through dafka the mouth. Others disagreed. Rav Moshe Shick, the Maram Shick, questions the whole notion that we can simply dismiss the danger. He writes, number one, that maybe, as he writes this in Yoredeya, in his Chuvos, Yoredeya, Simon Resh Mem Dal, he says, number one, that maybe Metzitza is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, and maybe that since he says the following: Al hamiut ein mofes v'nisayon dinishtana v'chem the miut efshe shiyavol esakana and holchim b'pikuch nefesh acharo. He says that we cannot prove definitively that the situation has changed, since there still is a minimal possibility that there is a danger, and therefore we do not follow the statistical majority in a life-threatening situation. So he says maybe it's halacha l'moshe misinai, maybe it's a mitzvah, and also, it's not clear, it's not proven beyond a reasonable doubt, even if you hold it's based on sakana, that there is no more sakana. So he believed that you must always assume there is a danger. And he disagreed with the Chasam Sofer's leniency, who thought that there probably is no danger. And he also claimed that the Chasam Sofer was only being lenient temporarily out of a fear that if you don't get rid of Metzitza Bepeh, maybe the government will outlaw Bris Mila altogether. Rav Yaakov Etlinger also disagreed with the Chasam Sofer. He said the Shoresh in his Tshuva Simon Chav Gimel that the Shoresh of Metzitza Matzatz always refers to suction by the mouth. He says it says matzatz, mem tzadi tzadi, and it's not mem tzadi yud or mem tzadi hey. And he says mem tzadi tzadi, that refers to suction by the mouth, a sponge. He says that it's tzarech dafka koach hameshicha lehotzi hadam, lo dai bekoach hadachika vaschita. It's not simply removing, extracting the blood, but it's removing it with force. And removing it mimakomo sarachokim from the distant places of that area, and therefore you need metzitza beped dafka. It needs to be done with the mouth, v'lo b'dechika sayadayim. And it can't be done with the hands, but it has to be done with the mouth. Others though disagreed with the Binyan Tzion. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Chayes, the Maariv Chayes, writes that since the Chasam Sofer gives the option of using a sponge, and the Ketzos says it's only a sakana, it's only based on sakana, then if there is a potential, in fact, danger of doing Metzitza Bepeh, you should use a sponge. The Mishnah Brura in Ber Halacha, Siman Shin Lamed Aleph, Seif Aleph, Dibura Maskel Porud Motzitzin, writes, Ayin B'tshuvas Binyan Tzion, Siman Chav Gimel V'chav Dal, Da Metzitza Dafka Bepeh, V'loy de davar acher, shem tzia rofim achadashim. So he cites the Binyan Tzion of Etlinger, who says that dafka spilly has to be bepeh, mitzita dafka with the mouth. But he also cites v'tshuvas yad Eliezer siman matir limtos bisfog divaduka the yoser tov mitzita bepeh. And he cites the Yad Eliezer, who, based on the Chasam Sofer, says that you can do it with a sponge, you don't actually need to do bipeh. So the Mishnah Brura doesn't take sides on the issue. Yosher Ber Soloveitchik is quoted in Rav Shechter's, Rav Hirschel Shechter's Sefer Nefesh HaRav, Amud Reish Mem Gimel, the following: Das Rabbeinu Hoysa, de Bizman Hazeh Ein Tzarech Metzitza Bichlal. Says Rav Soloveitchik says, you don't, nowadays we don't need Metzitza at all. Presumably based on sakana, and there's no sakana nowadays that necessitates mitzitza. And he said, Rav Shechter continues to write in Nevesh Harav, there was a time that the mole wanted to do mitzitza bepeh. Ubikish Rabbeinu Meir Shel Yasa, and Rav Soloveitchik Vyashaber requested that he shouldn't do Metzitza Bepeh. Ukshehivser Mohel Bedavar, and when the Mohel pressed the issue, Amar Le Rabbeinu, Rav Yashaber said to him, She'ilu Hoya Aviv Hagon Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Nochach. He said, if my father was around, Lo haya manicho klal, lo haya manicho klal, la sosa mitzitza bepeh b'shum ofen. He would not allow him to do mitzitza bepeh under any circumstances. Aval ani ma'od tolerant. And he said, but I am, that's what he wrote in Hebrew, but I am very tolerant. Ve'heyosha ta mafsir kokach, and being that you are very persistent, ani chacha. So I will allow you to do this. So Rav Soloveitchik said that presumably Mitzitza is not necessary nowadays, and Moshe Soloveitchik would not perform the mole to perform Mitzitza with direct oral contact. So what about using a pipette? Pipette doing Mitzitza orally through a sterile tube. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank allows it, but he said it requires training. Avnei Nezer was concerned it does not extract blood from the furthest places. Dr. Mordechai Halperin, a noted Israeli Rav, physician and scientist, actually believes that the blood can, in fact, be extracted from the furthest places using a tube. In 1989, there was a kol kore, a public announcement that was issued by Gedolim in both Israel and the United States regarding the practice of Mitzitza Bepeh in light of the new AIDS virus. The letter called upon all Jews to continue the practice of Mitzitza Bepeh unless the mohel or the infant was known to be a carrier of a communicable disease. It was signed by both Admorim in the Hasidic community and respected Rosh Yeshiva in the Litvisha community. The Nishmas Avraham, Dr. Abraham, who is a world-renowned physician, who is a leading medical ethicist in Israel, is very close with Shlomo Zalman, Rav Neuwirth, among others. So he writes, nowadays there is a fear of AIDS. At that time he wrote, nowadays there is a fear of AIDS or hepatitis being transmitted if mitzitza is done directly by the mouth. I was present when a mohel from the United States asked Rav Auerbach Zatzal if it was permitted in those cases where there might be such a possibility to use a pipette for mitzitza. The Rav, referring to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, ruled that in a situation where such a possibility could exist, he can use a pipette. Incidentally, my colleagues in infectious disease and in pediatrics and a search of the literature have not been able to find a single documented case of AIDS or hepatitis, which is much more infectious than AIDS, transmission from mohel to baby or vice versa. In the summer of 2004, there is a clinical study from Israel that appeared in Pediatrics, the Journal of American Academy of Pediatrics, which stated that the practice of Mitzitza Bepeh increases the risk of an infant contracting herpes simplex virus, HSV, and in 2005, the news broke out that a prominent mohel in the New York area had allegedly transmitted this disease to a small number of infant patients through the practice of Mitzitza Bepeh. The New York City Department of Health issued an open letter to the Jewish community urging no Mitzitza Bepeh, and the response from the Haredi community was swift and passionate. As they said, there was insufficient data to correlate Mitzitza Bepeh to HSV, to the herpes simplex virus. They argued that the motivations weren't pure. The department was comprised of secular anti-religious Jews who eventually wanted to chip away at Bris Milah entirely. In 2005, the Rabbinical Council of America issued a policy statement that concluded, the RCA urges its member rabbis, their congregants, synagogues, and institutions, as well as the larger Jewish community, to encourage and where possible necessitate that Mitzitza Bepeh be fulfilled via a tube. In a Jewish Action article 2006, Dr. Halperin had a more nuanced response to this issue. He said there are five different situations in his view. In one situation, if the mohel has never been suspected of transmitting the HSV to an infant he has circumcised, there is no medical or halachic impediment to allowing him to continue performing Mitzitza Bepeh in accordance with the tradition he received from our ancestors, meaning Avosedu. And the other extreme, if a medical examination identifying the subspecies of the virus has shown that the mole is the source of the child's infection, then according to all opinions, this mole is forbidden from this point on to perform mitzitza in the traditional manner. So those are two extreme situations. And then he gave three intermediate cases For example, if HSV has appeared in a newborn shortly after his bris milah, but the subspecies of the virus is found in the baby do not match that of the virus in the mohel system. So it's hard to prohibit because you can't really make the connection. And there are two other similar cases. So it seems to be that there are clear cases where the mohel, it's clear that he has potential disease or he has contracted the disease, and obviously that's an issue. In the in-between cases, he writes, it's hard to prohibit it. Rabbi Dr. Aaron Glatt told me that right now the Metzitza B'Peh is allowed in New York. He shared with me the position of the RCA, and he asserted that there is an association of a slightly higher risk of HSV following Metzitza B'Peh as opposed to non-Metzitza B'Peh. There's a slightly higher risk, not very significant, slight risk, but not significant. He said there has been no proven case connecting Metzitza B'Peh to the contraction of HSV. Obviously, he said if there's a lesion in your mouth or a history of herpes, you definitely shouldn't do it. Seems to me that, again, that if you hold that potentially the reason for Metzitza was a sakana, and we argue pretty conclusively now that there's no medical necessity to perform Metzitza because there really is no sakana involved that would necessitate Metzitza, then you should not require Metzitza nowadays. However, if you hold that Metzitza is a mitzvah, then maybe there is a mitzvah nowadays to perform Metzitza, but it seems there are many poskim who allow you to use a tube. You don't have to do it actually prepare, and you can use a tube. So that seems to be an appropriate way to do Metzitza. The risk doesn't seem to be that significant. It's certainly not clear and as definitive as, let's say, the not vaccinating your children, which is an issue nowadays. And I wonder, those poskim who were very dead set against doing away with Metzitza B'Peh, I wonder how much their opposition to eliminating Metzitza B'Peh is based on halacha, is based on tradition, or simply the fear of slippery slope that once we do away with Metzitza B'Peh, then we may undermine Bris Milah entirely. And to conclude, I find it fascinating that on the one hand, you can make an argument to abolish Metzitza B'Peh out of the concern that if public safety concerns with Metzitza B'Peh continue, the government in some countries perhaps may outlaw Bris Milah altogether. So maybe we should eliminate Metzitza B'Peh to protect the mitzvah Bris Milah. But on the other hand, you can make the opposite argument that you need to maintain Metzitza B'Peh because once we do away with this important detail which is quoted in the Mishnah, maybe it could lead to eliminating more aspects of this ritual and eliminating this ritual altogether.